Your On The Mark podcast is loading now. The On The Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On The Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On The Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Great, thanks, and welcome on board the WKOK. No, just
all right, I'm leaving.
Little bad joke there.
Boy, very bad.
Unfunny.
Poor taste if I ever saw poor taste.
No, yesterday.
And you look a little feverish, too, by the way.
Yesterday I was at church and I saw one person was about to sneeze. And then she's like, oh, my gosh. And she had a sweat jacket on. She started to cover herself, and then she suppressed it because she didn't want to, so desperately didn't want to sneeze.
Well, I think it's a good idea for most people to suppress sneezes or to cover them up. No matter what the day, no matter what the occasion, it's not a good idea to sneeze on anybody.
So how are you, buddy?
Well, I'm hanging in there. How about you?
You're not symptomatic at all whatsoever?
No, not, well, of some things, but not of this.
What are your ailments? What, you wake up in the morning and say, holy smokes, I wish I didn't have...
An achy knee.
Ah, the knee,
sore back.
The old football injury, I'll bet.
No, not an old football injury, an old bicycle injury from the gym.
I have a football injury.
Do you?
Yeah, one day when I was drinking beer, watching a game, I got up too fast and twisted my knee.
I'm so sorry. You have my deepest sympathy.
I hit the coffee table.
But it's been an odd weekend. I went to some of the stores, and I'm astounded by the things people are buying. I mean, first of all, I went to Giant, and there was no paper products of any kind.
No paper towels, no tissues.
I talked to one of the employees and said when they ran out of toilet paper, people started buying napkins and paper towels.
Mm-hmm.
What kind? This is an absolute hysteria. The other thing, I mean, there's no bottled water. I walked back in the bread aisle was completely bare.
Hmm.
And one thing that really surprised me is people bought out all the butter.
Hmm. Well, they probably
what they were doing with it.
They probably a lot of people maybe want to hunker down for 2 weeks if they can, and not go back out to the store. You know, when this virus hits our area, and it will, people are going to want to stay in if they don't have to go out.
Well, I don't dispute that. But I think the president's right. I mean, there's enough supplies in this country that you don't have to get panicky, and some people who need stuff can't get it. That's what's sad. I mean, there was a meme I saw over the weekend of a young couple with two shopping carts piled high with toilet paper and paper towels, and ahead of them was an elderly gentleman walking with one of those little hand baskets, and all he had in it was one small thing, like they had taken all the supplies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's sad because there ought to be some way to really measure the need. I heard on Gordon Deal this morning that some people are in some cities are calling 911 because they ran out of toilet paper.
Well, that
doesn't
make any sense.
And I saw this morning a meme of the people on the cast of Gilligan's Island. It says, these people are proof you can survive without toilet paper. Well, they were on that island for how many years and presumably had no toilet paper or supplies.
Right, what, using old socks and whatever else they could
find?
They
say mismatched socks. There's a thought that I don't want to carry around with me all day.
I didn't think of that. Somebody else put that down.
So I saw that, mismatched socks.
Who said that? Was that Gordon Deal today?
It may have been on his program, but
okay.
I saw that, and then somebody posted leaves. You know, well, first of all, the only leaves you're likely to find this time of year are dried up, ready to blow away.
Well, I think we're probably fortunate at our house. My lovely bride she's always about 3 weeks ahead anyway. So, you know, I think we'd probably have about 3 weeks worth until we have a dilemma. Well, and what's going to happen is the virus is going to get here and people are going to get sick and then people are going to stop going into the store. And once there's no one in the store except a few customers, it'll be safe to go back and the stores will be plentiful. So that's, you know, that's Lawrence's worthless prophecy.
Well, I mean, what should you try for? What should be your goal? Like to have a week, be able to sustain a week? Is it 2 weeks? Is it a month?
Well, I think it just depends on you, you know, your own personal preferences. Like for you and I, we have to go out. We're not going to work from home. It would be technically feasible for you to broadcast from home, but not for me. If I did, I would need a producer up here to sort of run everything.
Yeah.
So, that, you know, might as well just come in. So I'll still be coming in. But I think for other people, it just depends on their life. If you can stay home for 2 weeks and you can physically do it, and if you use Wise Markets has that shipped product where the individual will bring this stuff to your doorstep.
Well, now some of the stores have stopped that now.
Well, Wise has stopped their online to go ordering where they would order it online and then you come up and pick it up at the store. So they stopped that, and one small aspect of that online to go premium service is that there was a home delivery. Now, Wise has stopped that, but they still do in their contract with Shipt, which is a separate company that you tell them what you want, and they go to the store and pick it out for you. So you're really contracted with Shipt, who's doing this. They're still doing that. You know, okay. Shipt can still go in the store and buy for you and then bring it to your house. Shipt will also put it in your fridge if you want them to, you know, if you're a senior citizen, and that would be, you know, some of the stuff might be heavy or what have you. But they could also leave it on your front porch so you don't sort of have a personal contact then if you want to.
Oh, there's a thought.
So, and the president had a conversation with grocery store executives yesterday. I did ask Dennis Curtin at Wise Markets if Wise was in on that, and he has not yet answered that question. But people, you know, like the bigger chains, like the Kroger's, probably the biggest chain there is, they were in on this conversation with the president, talking about shortages and trying to get replenished. And that's where this idea comes in, that as soon as the supply chain catches up, you know, it's like a slinky. Eventually, supplies will come in and store volumes will go down, and then those shelves will be satisfactory again.
Well, it makes you wonder about how things are manufactured. For example, does toilet paper get manufactured once a month for 3 days, and that supposedly takes that care of everybody for a year? Or do they grind it out every day? Is somebody making toilet paper every single day of the week and every day of the year?
I don't know how that would work.
I'm
sure they're making it all the time. But
there's an ongoing need for it.
Right, I would think. There is a paper plant up in the northern tier. Anybody who's smarter than me would remember what it is. The Hammer Mill Paper Plant comes to mind as the name, but I'm not sure. But they would only have the ability to make it so fast, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and maybe the raw materials would come in short supply, too.
Well, I think what bothers me most is that people are acting rather irrationally. In other words, it's good to be fearful, and it's good to be, well, I won't say fearful. It's good to be cautious.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think you have to be overly fearful at the moment. Do you?
To the point that
you panic?
I think you're assuming that people are fearful when they overbuy. And I think people are probably anxious, and they have a strategy, and they're, you know, going to try to deal with this however they can. But I'm not sure if it's fear or it's logic or preparation. You know, long before we ran out of toilet paper at the Wise Markets this past week, there were preppers who were out there preparing all the time. You know, we talked to them on the phone one time. This idea that they're ready for a month of sort of standalone activity with that radiated milk, Parmalat, they call it, and all this sort of thing. So they were ready. So was it fear that drove them or just a sense of preparation? So I didn't see people buying hundreds of rolls of toilet paper. I'm not sure if we just had a lot of people buying their regular amount all at the same time.
Well, I was at Target on Saturday, and they actually had some. And people were going out of there with large amounts of it, although they had a sign up back there, limit one pack per customer. But then they sold different size packs. There was one pack that had like 24 rolls of toilet paper, and another pack that had 6, or another pack that had 9. So it seems unfair. Seems like they should say, all right, you're limited to the largest amount that we sell. Like if they sell a 24-pack and they're out of them, you can get three or four six-packs or whatever you need to cover that number of rolls.
Well, why is this put curbs on what you could buy?
I was there yesterday, and they were out, too.
But that was, what, two elements?
I think two,
two packages.
But it doesn't matter if you don't have any.
Out. Well, let's see. My lovely bride went to the Giant yesterday and said they did have some. I'm not sure how much, and people were saying that
she must have gone to Lewisburg.
And also also the surplus outlet. Some folks said Wegmans had some. I think maybe right around this immediate area there was a shortage, but some at other places. So,
well, the next thing you know, people are going to be stealing. I'm not going to say this because I'll give people ideas. Stealing it out of public restrooms. Going in and taking
it. Can you? Well, you know, and I didn't know this, but somebody did a story about this. That this, if you ever saw the Seinfeld episode, Can You Spare
a Square?
Well, that's what that's from. Was from a toilet paper shortage somewhere in and around the New York region. I don't personally remember, but it was significant at the time for them. And that particular shortage wasn't prompted by anything other than a run on toilet paper. So that's, and, you know, the Can You Spare a Square came from that.
Well, there was the old joke, and they don't make them anymore, about the Sears catalog passed for toilet paper in many homes around the country. No, it actually was first choice back in the early days of the century.
Oh, okay.
Back when you had outhouses, they would take the Sears catalog out there, read it, and then put it to good use.
Okay. One of our good listeners sends a note, says there is a toilet paper plant in Mahoopany, PA, which would be up in the northern tier, Wyoming County,
Grant
somewhere.
Wilkes-Barre area.
Up in that region, so that's up there. I believe there's still one in the northern part of Lycoming or Tioga County. I have this vision in my head. It's just based on some past conversation.
In north central Pennsylvania. I can't remember the name of the town, but I went through there once, and the place smelled.
Was that Hammermill?
I don't remember what it was, but it was. I can't think of the name of the town right now, but it was on the way to Erie. I remember I went that way one time. And you drove through the town, Ridgeway. Yeah, there used to be a paper plant in Ridgeway. Whether there still is or not, I don't know.
Who knows? All right, well, we will take all comers. Joe and I have boned up on this topic a tiny bit, so we kind of know what's going on. That was supposed to be humor. But anyway, we both went to the grocery store to see what it was.
Well, I think a lot of, I talked over the weekend to a number of municipal officials, mayors, and I spoke to mayor, spoke to a council president of another community, asked what other towns are doing, and I saw from the State Mayors Association that some mayors are ordering some things done in their communities, like closing their office buildings.
Okay.
You know, there have been some that have wanted to close down particular businesses where people tend to congregate. I'm trying to find out what's going on, you know, what the consensus is locally, and the only thing I could think of, and I recommended it as something to consider to our borough manager and council president, is maybe if this gets really bad, that we create a helpline. As I mentioned earlier, people are talking about toilet paper or calling 911 because they're out of toilet paper. But there may well be some unmet needs that aren't emergency in nature that, you know, perhaps the boroughs or the municipalities could point their residents toward someone who could solve the problem or at least offer them advice on it.
Well, maybe Facebook could do some good in this case as being a place where people could congregate.
Post their questions, yeah, without actually contact. You're right.
One of my good Facebook friends over the weekend posted that he has a tiny bit of spare time because he's not at work now because of this, that if anybody has an unmet need, that he's resourceful and kind of a, you know, not a handyman per se, but he certainly knows his way around electrical wiring or plumbing in a general sense, and that if anybody has an unmet need or a dilemma, they should contact him on Facebook.
Well, I heard someone on Gordon Deal's program this morning that, I forget where it was, but he put a sign out outside his house that said, "Howdy, neighbors, I have some time. If you need me to do anything for you, just leave me a list and some money, and I'll go get it or pick up whatever I can for you."
Okay.
So there's, you know, some way to be helpful. I think we all are. It's incumbent upon all of us to try and do whatever we can to be helpful.
Well, it should be interesting who we become in the weeks ahead.
Well, I think we've already decided that we're going to become hoarders.
Only some people, though. You know, if six people can de-hoard a store, you know, if they go to each store, but that doesn't mean everybody is.
I think the funniest thing I saw was a meme on the internet that said, "I finally finished my panic room." And it was a bathroom with 100 toilet paper rolls hanging on the wall.
Right. I saw somebody they had wrapped toilet paper rolls as a gift, and they were ready to give them to people.
Yeah, well, there was another one this morning that said the military has finally arrived at a very generous enlistment bonus, and it was a group of soldiers standing in front of packs of toilet paper.
And that got them to sign up. Well, and I think the National Guard is going to get involved at some point in all of this, so they'll be able to help their own way.
The governor ordered a lot of businesses closed down in the Montgomery, Philadelphia, and Pittsburgh areas, but he hasn't extended that here yet. you know, is that premature? Maybe not in those areas, but it would be in the rest of the state. I think the governor has been very prudent in his approach. I mean, he seems to have done...
Here
in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
I don't know about Andrew Cuomo. He may have gone a little bit off the deep end because he's announcing those his schools are closed till the end of April. And that could be a major problem. You know, and closing the schools, even in our own area, does create a problem for daycare for many people. They talked about, well, what should I do? Should I send my kids to daycare? Well, that defeats the whole purpose. I heard on, I think it was either CNN or Fox this morning, that schools are safer than daycare centers with respect to, you know, what...
Well, that was Governor Cuomo's argument. He tried to keep, or maybe it was Mayor de Blasio. Actually, I shouldn't say this since I'm not factually informed on it. One of the leaders in New York City was interested in keeping the schools open because that was the best place for the kids to be on a regular basis. The meals were there. They hyped up sanitation. They could accomplish the social distancing that, you know, would be ideal just by spacing the kids out and sharing classrooms and so on and making sure that they're spaced out enough.
Well, they could do that. I mean, I don't think you'd get the, what is it, 3 feet they recommend?
Well,
I doubt
six
that you could get three.
I've heard the phrase 6 feet's ideal. Three is sort of the compromise distance. So if you can smell somebody's breath, you're too close.
So would they, you know, I think you could make the argument that the kids might be safer in school.
Oh, I don't think that's a stretch. And then the instruction continues. So maybe you could curtail the school day, maybe shorten it so that maybe there's a, you know, a slightly shorter amount of time. Yeah, I agree with you.
But then you have lunchtime where all the kids are in the cafeteria together.
Well, you know, maybe that would have to be staggered, or maybe they could...
It already is in most school districts. I mean, I know
so,
it.
Well, that's true.
Where my grandson goes,
not
there
too many
are three
places
lunch periods.
Right, and one of them is at like 11 o'clock or so, so you're eating very early. All right, well, we'll...
Not for me. That's when I...
Well, that's your... Well, but see, well, you are out of bed at 4:30 or so?
No, I'm out at 3:45.
3:45, okay. So your whole day is just shifted to earlier in the
day. Earlier, right.
1-800-795-9565. Call us now. Your observations, your predictions. We'll take a prophecy or an actual fact, anything that you'd like to add to our conversation. We're talking about the coronavirus, the outbreak that is really changing our lives. This is sort of uncharted territory. So, like I said, it should be interesting to see how we behave in the next month or so, to see what our see what the best of us looks like, and maybe what the worst of us looks like. Who knows? 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Please give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565. Call us now.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. You can text us at 70236 if you're a Text Connect member, which we've probably texted about a dozen times so far in the past 2 weeks. It's funny, we can go a dozen weeks without any text, and then you get a dozen texts in a week or so. But Text Connect, 70236.
Well,
right. We're trying to keep people informed. We did get one complaint saying I'm getting too many of them, so we'll keep that in mind.
Well, I think we received this article from the Washington Post that kind of ties in what we were talking about with respect to schools.
1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. To set this up, colleges closed down in terms of student contact. The reason was is the students really come from all over the world after spring break, literally all over the world, so they would bring coronavirus back to their campuses. So campuses says, well, let's shut it down. In a staccato fashion, students will come in small groups individually and get their stuff stuff, so they won't all be on campus at the same time. Plus, the campuses are a clearinghouse for visitors from around the world.
This article centered more on their responsibility and what their intended purpose was.
Okay.
It says these residential colleges are also undermining much of their own rationale for existing. They are meant to be havens for young people, home-like places with established routines and networks meant to foster learning. They are also sanctuaries for low-income and marginalized students who might not have stable homes to return to on short notice. Students without computers or broadband will be unable to access online courses once they begin. Perhaps worst of all, some international Amherst students may be unable to return to campus when it eventually reopens because of the Trump administration's recently expanded travel ban. To its credit, Amherst's administration has set up a petition process for students to ask to stay on campus, and the student government is trying to reimburse some fees to help pay for travel, but the default is eviction. So that's a concern. You know, that's a good point. You have these institutions set up to handle children or handle students, and then you throw them out and, you know, and say, all right, go home now and stay there. Maybe that's not possible for some of them.
Well, we talked to somebody at Bucknell University yesterday who said, yes, the online learning's not taking place and the residential halls are going to be closed. But the fact of the matter is that Bucknell is pulling out all the stops to make sure that everybody, especially international students, have a reasonable place to go, a reasonable setup, something conducive to education that will help them. Now, if a student can easily go back home and participate in online learning as much as possible, you know, you can't do labs at home, so that wouldn't work or field learning for some of the environmental students. But Bucknell's trying to address this. Now, Amherst, not Amherst, but Amherst in this particular would have a higher number of international students, and so I could see why that would be a dilemma, and they might get caught up in the travel ban. But if they're anything even remotely like Bucknell, they're working to make sure that they address this and make it feasible. One of the individuals at Bloomsburg University was able to find student housing that the university arranged that was off campus but had high-speed internet, didn't involve travel to didn't have to be on campus in order to participate in the learning. So that's what, you know, they were working on. So, but I think when any one of these decisions has been made by a college campus or a municipality or a business to close or a governor, there are a wake of consequences from this. Imagine if you're a senior student at Bucknell University and, you know, you're interacting with your students, you're getting ready to part ways, and your senior year is supposed to be the best year of all. Well, all of a sudden, you're told to get off campus and don't come back. You might have a graduation, you might not. So I think that you don't think that's a big deal, but if you're that student, that's, you know, your little residential world that you're in. So I think all of these decisions have significant. Look at the loss of income. If you shut down restaurants, like they're doing in Allegheny County, where you can't dine in, you can dine out.
Take out.
Right. A lot of people are going to be hurt by this. You know, a wait staff. So there are huge financial, there's huge consequences for every precaution that we're taking.
No argument.
The overriding goal is to mitigate this somewhat so that our hospitals don't become overwhelmed.
Well,
so,
you know, for those who argue about socialized medicine and how great it is, look at what is happening in Italy. Their system is overwhelmed because the government has made the decisions about health care. No one in Italy pays a dime for their health care. It's universal health care. Everybody gets it for free. But now they're saying they're making decisions about who to treat and who not to treat.
All right,
and they laughed at Republicans who talked about the death squads that would become possible. But literally, that's the choice you have to make in some of these countries.
Well, that's probably what we're trying to avoid with the decisions coming out of Washington and Harrisburg, is
hopefully
avoid overwhelming our medical facilities.
And who we treat and who we don't treat, and who gets the test and who doesn't get the test.
Bobby, thank you for waiting. Thanks for calling in today. You're on the mark.
Yes. Good morning, everyone. You know, from years going by of polio, I mean, it's, you know, there's, you know, is not just this one virus that we've been subject to, but we've been subject to a lot more over the years, and different ways to handle things have always been provided.
Okay. Well, yeah, we survive. We somehow pull it together and do whatever it takes. I know with tuberculosis, we had certain camps that were set up. That's how the Allenwood, I believe the Allenwood Federal Prison Camp or the Allenwood White Deer Treatment Facility started out, was a place where individuals would go for tuberculosis treatment. You're right. We will survive this. This is uncharted territory in one sense, but by the same sense, we've done this kind of thing before.
Yes.
So, all right. Good point. Thank you so much, Bobby. Appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in. We do have an opportunity for folks to email us. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com or text us at 70236. If you have a message for us, please give us a buzz.
Well, you know, the other thing that's sad about this is it's turning in political. You have people, if you watched the debate last night, did you watch the debate?
Some of it, yeah.
I mean, they're taking on the president, claiming he's been doing the wrong things. And I still don't know what the
it's
right
pretty
things,
popular today.
Well, what are
not
the right,
just them.
What are the right things to do? I mean, he had what cracked me up. Did you see his press conference on Friday? I think it was where he had all those executives from all these companies that are working with him on the project.
Sure,
the
we
problem.
Carried it live on WKOK.
Right. And yet they asked him questions. He allowed them to ask questions. They all asked. All they cared about was whether or not he was going to be tested. And he kept saying, "Ask these experts here on the stage. Ask these experts what it is we're doing. How we're doing it." But all they wanted to know about was whether or not he got the test.
He did.
And it was negative.
He says. But remember, his propensity for telling the truth is immunocompromised. We're going to take a break, but we'll invite you to join us during open phones. This is WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here's your host for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence.
No, you're really passive-aggressive. You cut me out of the intro. I'm going home. I know when I'm not wanted.
We did a computer restart here, and it changed the open a little bit. It reverts back to me and just me. And the funny thing is I've never done the show alone. It's just that occasionally I do it with different guests for whom we don't have an official open. So.
Well, there's an open that says just says me, too.
Oh, is there?
It's when you're not here.
Oh, well, geez, we'll have to play that one.
Yeah.
Play that I wouldn't even know that. That's the, no, do not play that one. We're down with the opens.
Find it for me, will you, Rob?
No, he's busy. He's got important work to do.
Okay.
On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Please check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open now. It's 1-800-795-9565. It's the telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. And we do have some emails. Read that. That's funny. We should actually read that on the air. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. I'll just go ahead and share the joke right now. One of our good listeners sent us a note saying the signal seems weak in Montour County. To that end, I said we are making some adjustments to try to get our signal a little bit stronger out there. But I said you can turn your radio a little bit and it would help sometimes. And he says, well, the radio is mounted under the cabinet, so we'll have to turn the whole house. So, yeah, we have.
Or buy another radio.
We have a.
You never have enough radios.
Right. I got a couple in every room, but that's another issue. We have a clock at our house that's hardwired into the 220. It's in an old electric stove. And so in order to change it, you have to turn off the house electricity for 1 hour in the spring.
That's exciting.
But 23 hours in the fall. So, yeah, that's always an arduous time at our place. So we'll continue. Anyway, so enough about that. We are talking about the COVID virus or the coronavirus, COVID-19, and the U.S. response to that, the Washington Washington response, and Joe mentioned that President Trump's been criticized for his reaction, so we can talk about that. What has the president done right or wrong? Do you know any of these answers? What's the president done right? What has he done wrong? If anything, give us a buzz, 1-800-795-9565. We're talking about our people response to at street level. You know, who are we going to become as more and more things are shut down and the world changes? Are we going to be helpful to our neighbor, or are we going to make sure that we stay ahead of our neighbor? So these are valid questions. And we're going to do some news headlines, but go ahead and call us now with your answer to these questions. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. In the news, two developments from Harrisburg today. State workers who work in Dauphin County and at the Harrisburg Capitol Complex are to begin teleworking from home today, if at all possible. Additionally, the state government says in all instances where employees do go to work, they can leave early if a sufficient amount of the daily tasks are completed ahead of the normal quitting times, but telework if you can do so in Harrisburg. Also in western and eastern Pennsylvania, Governor Tom Wolf ordered restaurants and bars to close their dine-in facilities as of today in Allegheny County, Bucks, Chester, Delaware, and Montgomery County. The closure of the facilities is for 2 weeks. The governor says businesses which offer carry-out, delivery, and drive-through food and beverage service may continue to do so, but eating and drinking inside restaurants and bars is temporarily prohibited, so no drinking in bars before the day before St. Patrick's Day. So that is a big dilemma.
Oh, faith in Begorra, what's going to happen to us?
A Bucknell University student has been tested for COVID-19. The outcome of that test will take 3 or 4 days. It comes just days after the university announced it is transitioning to online learning. The university president sent out two messages yesterday saying a student who was on spring break in New York City returned to campus, fell ill, and isolated himself and called authorities from there. Eventually, he was tested at Evangelical Community Hospital, and the results are still pending. Meantime, the student is now in isolation, not at the hospital nor on campus. And the additional cleaning taking place on campus, the Bucknell Student Health has been in contact with infection control personnel at EVAN and the Department of Health. We have more about that update at WKOK.com. A general update from our correspondent in Harrisburg about coronavirus.
16 additional positive cases of coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, were most recently confirmed, according to the State Department of Health. This brings the statewide total to 63 positive cases. Nearly 450 patients have been tested or are currently in the testing process. In a statement, U.S. Senator Bob Casey says his office is closely monitoring the situation and ensuring Pennsylvania receives all necessary resources to keep communities safe and prepared. Residents are urged to keep informed. Updates are available at health.pa.gov and at cdc.gov. I'm Tori Gates.
Communities are scrambling to make sure that students get fed. Mauer's Dairy in Shamokin and Mount Carmel's West End Fire Company in Coldmont are two of the places that are assisting as they can. A volunteer effort. School districts themselves also working out a method that could help handle student feeding. And consistent with the governor's efforts, closing the libraries in Pennsylvania. A release from the Office of Commonwealth Libraries says libraries are closed to the public until March 29th. In alignment with the school closure, following the period of monitoring and evaluation, decisions will be made about possibly opening the schools. Give us a buzz, or opening the libraries. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love to hear from you. We're talking about the president's response, the coronavirus. We'll have to talk a little bit about last night's debate between the two Democratic contenders for president. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. One of our listeners sent us a message when we talked about toilet paper and just generally standing down in your home for 2 weeks. As for the toilet paper, it says some countries don't use toilet paper. Ask one of your good colleagues about Africa, where they just wash well afterward. And another individual says, your grandparents were called to war during the hardest of times. You're being asked to sit on your couch for 2 weeks. You can do this.
True enough.
How about that? Let's see. Rob, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in today. Go right ahead.
Good morning. This is a first-time caller. I wonder if you gentlemen have been looking on Facebook or on the internet at the people that are price gouging toilet paper and antibacterial supplies, and is there something that can be done about that?
Well, that's illegal. So,
but it happens. I was looking up on Amazon.com. I was looking up Purell hand sanitizer, and they had a 1 ounce bottle listed for $91.
Yes, that's ridiculous.
And Amazon says it's patrolling that. I thought they're not doing such a good job of it.
No, I know they're not.
Well, the state attorney general.
That's all I have to say. I'm glad to listen to the show every morning.
All right. Well, thank you
so much.
Glad
you called. Call again.
For weighing in. I appreciate that. Let's see. One of our listeners says, good morning to the complaint about too many text messages. Good grief. I got 4 texts since Friday. I can get that in 5 minutes from work. Get a life or opt out.
Okay. Well, there's a comment.
All right. Good. See, we talked to a psychologist this morning, and she said, you're going to find that people are going to get a little testy, too. Might bring out the best of us, but some people might have a slightly shorter fuse.
I don't doubt that for a minute.
Oh, well, that's true. I told you earlier that it's true. Don't be argumentative about everything.
I will argue with you. What's wrong with you? You nuts.
Look, all's I said. All right, no, we're just kidding. That was a fake argument. We are capable of actual ones, though. Demos, who is a stakeholder in Sunbury, Pennsylvania, is on the line. Good morning, sir. Thank you for calling
in. Good morning. I hear too many things about the coronavirus, but the best thing is to be ready and organized to fight the disasters. But in here, Democrats tried to destroy the president for 3.5 years and make him weak or nation, and saw the flu coming and go, but the corruption stay forever.
Well, that's not good. We don't want the corruption to hang around if the flu's coming and going.
Well, the corruption stay forever, but the flu, if you look at the history, the Spain flu on the 1400 came disaster too, on the 1800, they're gone. But the corruption stay forever. I want to meet you and the next meeting and the council meeting to say about the corruption.
Well, there's a lot of Democrats who feel differently about that, who feel that the president is you know, hardly the ideal person to be in the White House in the first person. He was...
But look what happened for 3.5 years. He win the elections, and the Democrats don't let him to do nothing. They sabotage him.
Well, the president's done quite a bit, I think you'll find, either through executive order. There have been some bills that have made it to his desk that he has signed. So I think the president's made quite a few actions. How many federal judges? Like 150 or
200 and something.
200, yeah. It's just a crazy number of good conservative judges, in his view, have been appointed to the courts. So, yeah, Democrats might have prevented good legislation from making it through Congress. Likewise, Republicans won't allow any good Democratic legislation to make it through. So, of course, Congress is at an impasse. Maybe that's for the best. We just don't know.
So I call you next meeting in the Sunbury, in the council meeting, to talk about the corruption. You coming over?
You're having a meeting to talk about corruption?
No. The next meeting, the council meeting. That's in the...
Oh, council. Council meeting. Okay.
You can be over there to talk about the corruption in the Sunbury and the Pennsylvania and all over the nation?
We generally go to council meetings. That's all I can say about that.
So you're going to be there to discuss corruption in Sunbury?
Well, no, he's going to talk to us at the council meeting about corruption in the nation.
Well, I think said Sunbury.
Send somebody in and, over there and then say something in the radio on Tuesday.
Okay. Will do. Thank you so much, Demos. Appreciate
the
call.
Thank you, Mark.
Take care. Have a good one.
Thanks for being a good listener. 1-800-795-9565 is the open phone. Let's see. There you go, Joe.
One of our texters says, good morning. I can't wait until the state stores and bars are closed for several weeks. Look out. It's going to get crazy, crazy, crazy. Signed, Bob.
Yeah, so somebody buy a cart full of booze and wine and different kind of spirits yesterday.
You know, I didn't get back. That's the one place I didn't go at either Wise or Giant into the beer or wine section to see if they were sold out of anything back there.
I'm stocked with beer. I have a bottle in the fridge.
Do you?
That's a month for me, so I'm good to go. All right, 1-800-795.
Doesn't get a little flat by the end of the third week?
It's closed. It's in a bottle. Its expiration's not till next month. I checked. We're good.
How do you close a bottle of beer?
I never opened it.
Well, then how are you going to drink it?
Well, I only have one a month or so.
Okay.
So this is leftover from last fall. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would just love to hear from you. We're talking about the coronavirus, our response, President Trump's response. Some people say he's right on it. Other people say he's got a while to go. So we'd love your view on this. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. We got three open lines. Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Cindy, thank you so much for calling in. You are on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
I wanted to... I'm hoping, Mark, that you'll have occasion to speak to someone in the Pennsylvania Department of Education. And the reason is because, for the life of me, I cannot understand why they insisted on closing the cyber charter schools along with all the brick-and-mortar schools. You know, they've sent employees home, including state employees, and told them to work from home. And how do they do that? Well, typically on a computer. And yet, these schools that where the children interface with their instructors through computers and interface with each other through the computer, but aren't ever aggregating any in a common room to do that, then they've shut them down. What kind of sense does that make?
Are these the same teachers teaching in the same classrooms as the public students, or is it sort of set
they
aside?
They are public students. They are public schools.
What I mean, is it the same teacher teaching the same material that's in the public classroom?
No, not. You mean in the brick-and-mortar classroom? No.
Right.
These are teachers who uniquely teach in the cyber school.
I don't know. That's a good question. Why would you shut them down?
Yeah, why would you shut them down?
Did they give a reason?
No, they did not. It was just in the sentence. They closed all schools, including cyber charter schools. And I thought, that is so silly. Why can't those kids continue to do their education?
Maybe they don't want the educators...
Well, maybe they don't want them to get ahead. Maybe they're trying to keep everybody on the same schedule.
They're already way ahead. No, they already work ahead. They're already on their own schedule anyway.
It's supposed to be about what meets the needs of individual students. That's what one of the best things that cyber can deliver is that kind of individualized instruction.
Well,
I just think this is silly. And I would like some government official to explain himself. You know, this isn't a local decision. This is a Department of Education in Pennsylvania decision.
Well, I think last week when you called in, you did advocate, if I recall, shutting down the schools. There's now some school of thought that maybe they should have been left open because it's safer for the kids there than perhaps some of the alternatives they would face at home or being put into daycare.
Well, they've closed the daycares as well. So what sense does that make, Joe?
Not all of them.
You're trying to stop the transmission of an illness, aggregating people. I just need you to think about this. So now the CDC came out and said no gatherings of more than 50 people, right? So can you tell me where there's a school, a brick-and-mortar school, where there aren't more than 50 people? What you're seeing here is a tension between those people who use the schools for all kinds of non-academic purposes like child care and nutrition programs and, mental health therapy, medical care, and all these other issues. And there's a tension between those people and their agenda and what's reasonable public health behavior. And I have no problem that I said that they should have shut the schools down. I gave you evidence, real scientific evidence, for why we should shut the schools down. I think it was a good idea. I think rational people would have left cyber schools open. There's no justification.
Yeah, we'll have to ask the governor's office why that was.
The only thing I can think of is that they think it's unfair to let one group go on. I mean, how would you handle that? They would graduate, or they would have not certifications, but they would have class credits that the other kids wouldn't have an access to.
Well, schools don't all end on the very same day, Joe. And in fact, the governor has already ordered that you don't even have to make your 180 days this year.
Right. The governor said that, but so what happens? So the kids who don't make the 180 days and the kids in the cyber schools do, aren't they getting an unfair advantage?
I don't think so. It's not about advantage. We should be happy that we got at least this group of kids got their full complement of education. You don't solve a problem for one group by hamstringing another group. What kind of sense is that?
It's fair. Everybody should be made to suffer.
Aren't we all being made to suffer anyway?
What I wanted to say with regards to this is that, every year, I'm thinking the last 10, 15 years, maybe a little bit more, 20 years, we have done PSSA testing in our schools by federal mandate and state mandate, right? That takes several days, and it is scheduled at this point for April, about mid-April. And what I think they should do, they have the power to do this, is they should just not do it for this year. They should just say, because if you get the kids back into the schools, do we really want to sacrifice instruction for doing this testing? And I say, no. If we can get the kids back into the schools, we should be focusing on instruction that they've missed for the 2 weeks they've been
out. I talked to another person who has a different view of that. They said maybe it would be a good idea to test them so that the teachers won't have all the time to try and pump information into their heads in the last minute and just see how well they really do without that kind of intense pre-test learning environment.
Because?
Just to see what the kids really have learned. Without the teachers, one of my friends who is a teacher says they pump the kids, and leading up to the test, they pump the kids as full of information as they can. Let's see how they do without that pumping.
I see. So what I'm assuming they're anticipating that the children will do even worse than they already do.
Well, they might
and
do
so
even better.
So what we'd like to see is demonstrate even more failure. Is that what we're looking for?
The person I talked
to. I don't follow that rationale.
The person
I believe with education is to actually teach people.
Cindy,
now, do I think we have to measure? Yes, we do have to measure. But this is an extraordinary circumstance, and I think in extraordinary circumstances, some things that we've decided are the norm have to flex. Only those who adapt are going to do well in this situation, are going to survive.
Well, Cindy, the person I talked to was a little more optimistic than you. They thought the kids would do better without that.
Oh, I don't think so. But that's a whole other bag of worms.
That's another topic.
Anyway,
thank you so much.
That's my 2 cents. Thank you, guys.
Really
Bye.
Appreciate
Bye.
It. Thanks for calling in. 1-800-795-9565. Eric, and next up from Port Treverton, PA. Thanks for weighing in, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. I think it's time for us to stop pointing fingers, gentlemen. Let's get some positives. Let's get some action steps for parents. This is what we're doing. We're helping to watch our grandkids. We're blessed to be retired and can do that. I know not all parents have that option. But What am I doing right now? I'm sitting here. My grandson is in front of me. He's working on a workbook. What are we doing? We are trying to and Owen says hello. We are trying to replicate what the students would have during the regular school day. So we have an idea of what he would be doing. So now he's working on math. And later we'll be going outside and having recess. And especially for elementary school students, I think this is very important that we try to put a normal routine in as much as possible. So my suggestion for parents who are home with their kids is to try to replicate and go through what their school day is as much as possible. And I granted, you may not have a workbook like Owen has here, but you can certainly to write numbers down for that, or you can have discussions and so forth. Get the kids away from the screen time. Let's not get hooked back on that stuff and start and try to replicate as much as possible what their school day is. That's my suggestion, the positive suggestion. Let's quit pointing fingers at the governor or pointing fingers at the schools, and let's start dealing with what we have here and how can we best serve our children during this time. And I think the best way to do that is to try to create some normalcy with them so then when they do return to school, there's not that big jump as we always see during, you know, following a break or following summer vacation, and there's going to be less adjustment for our kids. It's going to be about the kids, folks. Let's see what we can do for the kids.
Actually, I don't think anybody here has come down on the governor. I think what he's done has been prudent and wise. I know from my time as chairing the State Emergency Communications Committee that Governor Wolf has appointed some outstanding people to Pima. I've worked with them. They're good folks. They know what they're doing.
They're the real deal.
They are. And, you know, I think Governor Wolf deserves a lot of credit for a measured but intelligent response. And I think the president has done the same. You know, I realize that... No, I'm sorry, but I do. I think he's been in a difficult position. He has tried to do what's right. I think both of them have the best interests of our people at heart. They just differ perhaps a little bit on how it's to be done.
Well, the governor never lies, and Trump never tells the truth,
oh,
so that kind of works out.
There you go. You're really...
No, it's true. He was lying again over the weekend, saying this vaccine is imminent and that we got this under control. Neither of which
is true.
He said
we have good control over it.
Right. Well, that's ridiculous. We don't.
Positivity, gentlemen. Positivity.
All right, all right.
This is what this call is all about.
I'm
positive,
Eric. I also think that there is plans being made underway to get lunches out to kids, breakfasts, but lunches out to kids too.
How about that? Yeah.
I know that the Meals for Seals and the Meals for Mustangs groups are ramping up to try to make sure that our kids are getting, you know, some sort of replacement for the school lunch program, which is, again, I think something we need to do as we think about overall stuff. But this may go, I'm hearing now, not 2 weeks, probably closer to 8 weeks till we're through. But this is my message to the parents. Try, do what you can. Try to keep the kids engaged in school-like activities so then when the time comes for them to go back to school, there's not that much of a big adjustment.
So we don't have the corona slide.
Just don't take them to the mall and out to the playgrounds.
Well, you can be outside and the playground is, you know, kids need to be outside, too. I mean, we can't just have them stuck in front of the TV.
Unless there are 49 other kids there.
A babysitter, you know. So.
Well, you need to keep them away from crowds.
Crowds, true. But I don't see, you know, more than 50 kids at a playground. But I mean, a lot of us live here in the rural areas. You know, you can get outside, take them for a walk. You know, sit them down, have them work on some math or some reading. You just have them read something, and take them out for recess. You know,
you know,
have a lunch for them, and then, you know, have structured time. Use this time wisely, you know, rebond with your kids, for heaven's sakes,
that's
your grandkids.
That's
or
an excellent idea.
Nephews and nieces or whatever. Use this as a positive time to reconnect.
Where do these numbers come from? What's magic about 50?
Well, 50 went from 500 in it to 250.
250, 100.
You know,
I've heard all sorts of different numbers, depending on where you are.
It keeps going lower and lower. And the other thing I recommend is, you know, as much as you can, you know, help keep your local businesses going. You know, we don't normally eat out a lot, but down here in Port Treverton, Schaefer's restaurant just reopened. I mean, sure, we went and got a takeout pizza there. You know, help keep the local businesses going, too, as much as you can.
Okay. All right, we got you. Thank you so much, Eric. Really appreciate the call. Thanks for checking.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Take care.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. David Cooney, the mayor of Mifflinburg, sent us a note, so we'll be reading that. Let's see. We have an op-ed that's from the New York Times from Governor Cuomo. We can read that on the air as well. Wall Street Journal reporting today, drastic intervention by the Federal Reserve sent investors into a panic today as deep declines in pre-market trading collapsed collapsed into an 8.1% plunge for the Standard & Poor 500. That triggered another forced 15-minute cooling-off period for Wall Street. The Dow plunged 2,200 points. The Dow's projected decline was steep enough to trigger New York Stock Exchange's limit-down freeze on futures, which is meant to guard against emotional or chaotic trading. So we'll keep you posted about the Dow Industrials.
That's about all we've seen in the last week.
Of course, erasing Friday's gains. You remember we talked to Senator Toomey had talked about the fact that Wall Street was due for a pop-up, which it did, I think about 1,200 points, but erasing those gains. But hopefully it'll stabilize today. 1-800-795-9565 is our open phones. We'd just love to hear from you today. We're talking about the president's response, the U.S. government response, what we can do with each other and for each other while we are all in this together. What kind of people will we be during this crisis? We'll see the best in us and the worst in us, I suppose. We'll see some hoarding, but we'll see some helping. So
you got any spare honey? Or are you hoarding all of it?
It's still on the comb. 1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
1-800-795-9565 is the open line. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. Dale, thank you for being so patient. You are on the mark.
Yeah, I just wanted to tell you a story about America and the bank. They're this disease. Well, they said 382 people died. That's come from CNN. But the world CDC did not say that, so don't listen to the media. And here's another thing. America's driving down a road, in the passenger seat, there's the U.S. bank, well, the global, you know, central bank. They're driving 50 miles an hour down a road. America shuts the keys off, which is basically the economy. Next thing you know, the passenger grabs the keys and jumps out of the moving vehicle.
That's the Fed.
Now, how do we start this economy back up?
That's the Fed. Okay.
So let me tell everybody.
And what about the passenger bank in the back seat? Are they still helping to drive, or is that the bar association?
Banks just put their money on manufacturing.
Who's in the trunk?
Lift service. The economy might be starting back up, but it's only going to be like a tenth of what it was. So,
what's the dead weight in the trunk?
It's just ironic how this disease. I mean, the timing is just perfect. So basically, the numbers are being manufactured unless the CDC confirms it. So don't listen to Fox or CNN. Because they're just stirring the pot.
Well, who do you believe, Dale? Just out of curiosity, who do you believe?
I believe that there is a virus. I believe it's the scale of it is being obloviated by the wrong
obloviated.
Okay, yeah, I'm just telling you.
It's like exaggerated.
Says that word confirmed.
Bigger than that.
More bigger.
Is that word confirmed? Then you go with it. But if you're like too much of anything, if you're watching too much news, it's just like a drug. It's going to destroy you.
Well, how many people do you think died?
That is very true. Now, that is true. If you watch too much news, I know some people who don't watch any news at all whatsoever, and they're very content.
Are they happier?
Yeah,
oh,
well,
my gosh, yes.
Listen, here's what I'm telling you. When the car was going 50, America was driving, and the passenger was the central bank, and they took the keys while the car was moving and jumped out of the moving vehicle.
Right. But the speed limit was 55. Why weren't they going the speed limit?
The timing back up.
All right. I think we've taken this.
What it was, Joe.
Why weren't they going the speed limit, though? Speed limit was 55. Why were they only going 50?
The biggest commodity in the world right now is manufacturing, and America's lazy. Period.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That's what it is. So people just get used to it and don't be paranoid. That's it.
Well, we need to get that guy back who jumped out of the car with the keys.
Right, and who's the dead weight in the... What's the dead weight in the trunk that's weighing down the whole economy?
I mean, that's a funny metaphor, but, I mean, if you look at it, the timing is perfect.
Right,
and
I got you.
Just listen to the right news.
I like that. That's interesting.
Too much of it.
Where's the right news? Where you can? Where's good news?
Fox.
CDC, whatever they say, that word confirmed, the word confirmed means a lot today.
Oh, okay. So if you hear the word confirmed, that's a red flag.
That's good. That's honest.
We got you. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call.
We need to get that guy back who jumped out of the car with the keys.
That's obviously
the
Fed.
We're not going to go anywhere without that.
That was the central bank. They got the keys. They jumped out, and that left the car on a free fall. We're still not sure who's in the trunk, but we know the Bar Association's in the back seat.
They got to be there.
And Paul is in a motorhome being hauled behind. Paul, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks a lot. One asks, when are they shutting daycares down?
We don't know that.
They did shut some down in areas like Montgomery County. But I have a friend down there who tells me that the ones associated with hospitals are still open. So not all of them have been shut down.
Because the kids carry the virus, right? They don't have it, but they carry it.
Well, they said, a report I heard over the weekend that says it almost is unheard of in children 10 and under. But over the age of 10, they do have instances where the kids have it.
But they can carry it, he's saying.
Carry it, yes.
Even though
apparently
they don't get
they
it.
Can.
Right.
Even if they're younger, right, than 10,
right.
They carry it, right?
Right, so they could take it and give it to their parents. So,
yeah.
So it is certainly possible daycares will close around here in the weeks ahead. I would look for this to happen probably within 2 or 3 weeks. You know, the pandemic's going to have to overspread us. And
don't you think it already did overspread us? Don't you think the kids already have it?
Not yet around here, but they will. I mean, it's just a matter
of
time.
I mean, no one's tested anybody.
Well, but we don't. Well, we'd have some adults that had it, which we only have. Well, we don't have any adults around here that have had it. So the incubation period is like 2 days to 2 weeks. So somebody would have got it for 2 weeks.
No one's really testing anybody.
Right. No argument there.
In reality.
Right. No argument there. But we don't have a lot of sick people around here either. So we know that we don't think that we have it around here.
Well,
you could be right.
you
are the more knowledgeable than I about what's happening where you are. So I don't know what's cooking.
I don't know either. All right, thank you very much. Yeah. I'm a Trump fan.
But I don't think that the kids. You know, you're not going to get the kids out of the home if the kids are carrying it. The parents are going to get it anyway. But I think the key to it is to try and keep the younger people from being exposed to it, because they might infect the older people. But how are you going to do that?
All right,
can't tell parents they can't keep their kids at home.
Let's see. David Cooney, who's the mayor of Mifflinburg, who's going to check in with us on Wednesday morning telephonically, says he's recommending for people in his community in Mifflinburg to follow the CDC recommendation of social distancing, which means limiting contact with others by not gathering in groups. And that would mean things like sporting events, group fitness workouts, dining out, birthday parties, worship services, public auctions, and other group pastimes. He says someone with COVID-19 may be infectious, but without any symptoms for up to 2 weeks. Yeah, that's the incubation period, 2 days to 2 weeks. It means that while they feel just fine, they may be spreading the virus to others, possibly many others, if they're still gathering with groups of people.
Well, that's the primary reason why people are asked to self-quarantine or to stay in and avoid contact to see if you do have it. But, you know, so far we haven't had a reported case in Snyder County or around here generally, have we?
No.
We've had people tested
no
for it, but no actual cases.
Right now,
so.
We got a lot of rumors, too, plus the rumor mills.
But the whole goal here, and Dave doesn't mention it in this, but I'm sure, he does mention it in the next paragraph, flatten the curve, just make it harder to spread the disease. And the more difficult you make it for the disease to spread, the better chance you have to control it. So he's offering some good advice there, and he has a background in the topic.
1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Last caller before a quickie break will be Ron. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Hi, good morning. I just wanted to make a comment. I was reading about the testing rates in other countries that had the virus before it came here, countries like China, Korea, Bahrain, and the most that any country could ever test, even in the countries where testing is free and everywhere, was 5,000 people per million people, that means that 99.5% of the people really never get tested because the virus is spreading faster than it can be tested. So I think the struggle is the unknown, because there could be cases all over here. We just don't know because people aren't tested. But on the bright side, I think it'll spread and go through society. 80 to 90% of the cases are mild. And I think we're doing the right thing as a country. I think the governor is. I think the president is. But really, testing isn't the answer. I think it's time and asking us what we can do for our country, not what our country can do for us. Thank you.
Yeah, good point. But, you know, I hope President Kennedy's words echo with other people, too, because it seems like everybody's looking for the government to do something for them. So
agreed.
I agree with you.
And we can all pitch in. This is our time. And if we get a little extra time with our families, I think we're a stronger country on the other side of this.
I agree with you more.
This is our time.
Thank
all
you.
Right.
Thank
well
you very
said.
Much, Ron.
Thank you
call
so much,
again.
Ron. Really appreciate the call. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the number for the three open lines. We've got one occupado, but we're going to take that call momentarily. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Very glad that On the Mark is on the radio. And for that, you can thank the Sunbury Motor Company. They've been our sponsor since 2006. They've been in business since 1915. Now they got two locations, in case you didn't know, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out lots more about them at sunburymotors.com. You can do as I've done on several occasions. Go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. They specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Find them on the web at sunburymotors.com. Check out their online specials. Build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. Buy one of the hundreds of pre-owned vehicles that are in perfect condition. Need a tow truck? They got a master towing service with decades of damage-free experience. They would just love to help you out at the Sunbury Motor Company.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. One of our good listeners, Mike, who's probably the smartest guy in the world, says,
the strong precautions are driving the stock market down to historic drops in value. Smart money is waiting for the bottom and jumping back in for record profits. When to jump in and out is the question. Yeah, that's always the question.
Well, if my lovely bride would give me $5,000 to put in stocks, I'd wait a little bit, buy $5,000 in some kind of stock that stays in lockstep with the Dow for the most part.
And the mutual fund that's,
ride it
that
back up.
Mirrors the Dow would be where I'd put my money.
Oh,
right,
a mutual
now
fund,
too.
Okay.
Yeah, because they do. Mm-hmm. I mean, they buy all the stocks in the Dow Jones average, and as the Dow Jones goes up or down, the stock's mm-hmm, price goes mm-hmm, up and down. Mm-hmm. Or the market, money market, not money market, but the fund price goes up or down.
I do own some dogs, some stocks that are real dogs. Yeah, they are holding down the market right now and preventing the Dow from going back up.
I'll trade you for my bank stock.
Pretty flat. Yeah. All right, Dick, thank you for waiting through more frivolity. You are on the mark.
I think you're talking to me.
Yep, go right ahead. You're on the radio.
I wonder what I wanted to tell your listeners, if you Google the Johns Hopkins Hospital coronavirus site, I mean, they pretty much are up to the minute with everything from every country in the world. The number of cases, the number of cured, the number of deaths. They have a world map. You can click on the individual country. They have the graphs on the side. I mean, it is accurate beyond compare. And I would believe them whether I believe anybody. They're a world-class medical institution. They have no reason to put out false information.
Johns Hopkins?
Johns Hopkins site.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, Google, it's incredible how much information they actually have on that site. And I would believe them. Well, the other thing I was going to mention is in Italy, because their population is so old, I mean, this affects old people's lungs like nothing they've ever seen before. Realistically, that's what people have to worry about. Even though their grandkids or their kids maybe are just carriers to them and will not get sick, they get to the parent, they go to the grandparent, and the grandparent, there's so many with compromised immune systems. I mean, look how many people you see with inhalers and machines as they walk around. Those people really cannot afford to get this illness, and that's the best I'm going to tell you. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Points. Thank you so much. 1-800-795-9565. We mentioned Governor Cuomo. Andrew Cuomo of New York says, "Dear Mr. President, the coronavirus pandemic is now upon us. The data from other countries shows us clearly where we are headed. Every country affected by the crisis has handled it on a national basis. The U.S. is not. State and local governments alone simply do not have the capacity or resources to do what's necessary, and we don't want a patchwork quilt of policies. There is now only one question your team must answer for you. Can we slow the spread of the disease to a rate that our state healthcare systems can handle? The answer increasingly looks like no, but that does not mean we should not try. There are fewer options available at this late date, but the federal government should move to implement them swiftly. There are three clear imperatives we need to address. One, slowing the spread of the virus is a function of testing and reducing the density of public gatherings. So, first, Mr. President, you must stop the FDA from over-regulating the testing process and authorize states to certify a wider array of testing labs and methods. On Friday, you said your administration had agreed to allow New York State's Public Health Department to authorize local labs to perform the state's approved coronavirus test, a good first step. Your administration's also approved high-volume automated testing by the Swiss diagnostics maker Roche. But these moves are insufficient because of the high demand for testing kits nationwide. Many labs with Roche machines will be unable to obtain enough of the company's testing kits for weeks or even months. There are other labs that can do high-volume coronavirus tests that do not use Roche kits, but these machines cannot be used without further FDA approvals, the sort that Roche received on Friday. So this goes on for a while. But in any event, he wants the president to take more decisive action.
I just looked Andrew up Johns Hopkins at the website that Dick was talking about. And at the bottom of it, it says it was last updated on February 11th at 10:23:04 a.m.
Okay.
So it's not exactly very accurate if that's the last time it was updated.
You mean the number of in the U.S. of confirmed
the number global. Of confirmed cases around the world?
I think that probably just means the page was updated then. I obviously would have had to have updated since then. Individual elements of it.
It says that, let's see, 130. It doesn't even list the United States on here, so I don't know how. Mm-hmm. We're listed under others, so I think we should probably be on our own.
But we don't have that many compared to other countries.
So, I don't know, but maybe there's another website. Maybe I've got the wrong one. But this says it's Johns Hopkins. It says coronavirus global cases by Johns Hopkins CCSE.
One of our listeners says, "What's wrong with President Trump? He's lying about the coronavirus test kits that anyone can get. Lie number 15,500. He said they're testing people coming from overseas, which is wrong. The test kits are defective. Wrong. He doesn't want the American people to know the truth. Thanks,
wrong.
His bum."
Look, you know, this is a difficult situation, as I think more than one person has pointed out. We're in uncharted territory.
That was me.
We haven't had this since the last time we had a pandemic was 1918, and nobody who was around then is around now. I think you would agree with me on that, unless they're very, very old. And that was a frightening
time. When was the last time?
1918.
Okay.
That was the Spanish flu. It killed hundreds of thousands around the world. You know, we're much better equipped today to handle this type of thing. I think what's more relevant today is we have more information. Some of it good, admittedly, some of it not so good. But we're not alone. I mean, it's not like we can't have access to information, like we can't find out what's going on. And we know what reasonable things that we should be doing to prevent us from getting it and prevent us from spreading it. If we just follow those things, I don't think there's any need to panic. Do you?
Nope. We're just going to get through this together, slowly and steadily, and try to make wise decisions.
Hopefully.
Maybe reopen the cyber charter schools. As bad as they were, there's really no reason they should be shut down. Maybe we can get even more kids to enroll in them so that their learning continues.
Let them all in.
We need more people like Eric. Take them grandchildrens in. You take both of them now.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with more information. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.